Yes, he is a quick, he is spiritual, he is a brilliant, he is our very own Mufti A.K. Hussein. I really enjoy his company. Mufti Sahab, Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and tell me, how are you doing this fine, a beautiful morning?
Assalamu Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, we beseech Thee to increase us in our knowledge and to protect us from the deceptions of the Satan and the evil of our souls. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 27th of Jumad al-Ula 1443. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, we focus on chapter 18, Suratul Kahf, verses 40 to 44. In yesterday's lesson, we informed you there was a Muslim person and a capitalist secularist, and he was so proud and arrogant, he said that I have much more wealth than you, much more children and followers than you. So the Muslim reminded him, Almighty Allah created you, Almighty Allah bestowed these bounties and favors upon you, yet you are rejecting him. Why not when you enter your orchard, your garden, you say, Ma sha Allahu la quwwata illa billah. When you say that, whatever happens is the decree of Almighty Allah, and there is no might, no power except that of Almighty Allah. Today you are mocking me, today you are insulting me, and telling me that I have less wealth than you, less children than you. Now today's lesson, chapter 18, verse 40. فَعَسَى رَبِّي. Whenever the word asa comes for us, me and you ordinary mortals, then it means perhaps and maybe. But if it refers to Almighty Allah, asa Rabbi, like in this instance, then Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Ra'isul Mufassirin, one of the greatest commentators of the noble Quran for all times and places and circumstances, he said, then the meaning will be surely, definitely. فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِ خَيْرًا مِّن جَنَّتِكَ. So Almighty Allah will surely grant me something better than your garden and orchard. As far as your garden orchard goes, is nothing far-fetched. وَيُرُسِلَ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ. That he, Almighty Allah, sends on his garden, the person who's a capitalist, secularist, حُسْبَانًا, the thunderbolts from the skies and from the heavens, مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا. And then that garden becomes a piece of land that is very, very slippery. This was in those days. Look now at America. One side, America has the audacity to say that they are a supreme power and superpower and so forth. One wind, one gale force, and you see whole of Colorado or half of Colorado finish. And that is Kudrat ka Karishma, the manifestation of the power of Almighty Allah. One earthquake, one tsunami, and the whole country falls apart. That is the power of Almighty Allah. ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِعِبَادَةِ. Almighty Allah warns his servants, O people, don't be arrogant, don't be so haughty and proud. If I want, in a split second, I will decimate, annihilate you. فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَلَقًا. Thus the Muslim was telling the capitalist, and you look at today, Africa, Europe, America, the whole world, that the richer getting richer and the poor get poorer. How can that be a system for goodness of the society? It is a recipe for disaster and failure. That's why capitalism is a cursed system based on interest. O Yusbihama Uha Ghora, O Almighty Allah, makes the water that is there irrigating your farms and orchard Ghora. O Almighty Allah, lets it go underground, and when it disappears, فَلَن تَسْتَطِيعَ لَهُ طَلَبًا, then you will not be able to find it. Lo and behold, now time passed on. Suddenly, you find that the calamity, the disaster, afflicted him and his farms and orchards. وَأُحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ, it surrounded his fruits and his farm. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ, he started wringing his hands, making his hand go round and round, round and round, out of regret and remorse. That same capitalist, that same secularist, alama anfaqa fiha, because of the millions he had spent in that farms, in that orchards, and everywhere else. Today, after the rains, after the hurricane, the gale force, wahiya khawiyatun ala urushiha, it is lying upside down. That which was on top is now at the bottom, and totally ruins. Whether the locust came, whether the hurricane came, whether the tsunami came. So whatever it is, remember it is the power of Allah. In a split second, Almighty Allah can make us from millionaire to rags, and from rags to riches. That is the power of Allah. وَهِيَ خَوْيَةٌ عَلَىٰ أُرُوشِهَا, now he says, after all that pride and arrogance, وَيَقُولْ يَا لَيْتَنِي, he will say, the capitalist and secularist, how I wish, لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِ Rabbi Ahada, that I did not ascribe, associate anybody, anything with Allah. O Muslim, O Muslimah, O humanity, that is our da'wat and invitation. Our invitation is to true monotheism. There is no monotheism in Judaism, in Christianity, in Hinduism, in Buddhism, nothing. You must remember the only true monotheistic faith is Islam, and Islam teaches you that there's only one supreme being and he is in power, that no one else. He does not have a parent, he doesn't have children, he doesn't have partners, associates, nothing. And he alone controls this entire universe. He is the only Khalik and Malik. He created it and none can create, and never will they be able to create. Never can they create a single fly, even if they all come together for that purpose there as enshrined in the noble Quran. So open Surah Hajj chapter 22 and verse number 73. Chapter 22, verse 73. How will they let ensoulment take place to insert the ruh, the soul, the spirit in what they create? They can never do that. So now he has afsos, he has regret, he has remorse. So still Allah opens the door for you, that if you show remorse and you repent and you embrace Islam, then Almighty Allah will forgive you. But some people never ever learn. وَلَمْ تَكُلْ لَهُ فِيَا, and for him there was no group or party. يَنْصُرُونَهُ, to help him مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, against Almighty Allah. وَمَا كَانَ مُنْتَصِرًا, and nor could he defend himself. How many an empire we saw in South Africa, so many shops, so many factories, so many, remember that, warehouses, and so many, all closed down. The whole empire crumbled in front of their eyes. Then you go to the world and see. So that is the power of Allah. Hunalikal walaya, remember that time, all the superpower, and all the supremacy and all the might is only lillahi al-haq, solely, only in authority, sovereignty, majesty. Lillahi al-haq is truly for Allah alone. He is the true one, no one else worthy of worship. And when we return to Allah, death overtakes us. Huwa khayrun sawaba. There by him you'll find the best and optimum maximum reward. Wa khayrun uqba. And the best of consequences. May Almighty Allah make that day. Read with me. Allahumma aj'al. Allahumma aj'al. Khayra ayyamina. Khayra ayyamina. Yawman alqaka fi. Yawman alqaka fi. Ya Allah Jalla wala. Make that the best day in our life. The day we come to meet you. Allahumma aj'al khayra ayyamina yawma nalqaka fi. Alhamdulillah, we say, and we have to say inna lillah as well. We say alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, the tinpot dictator in Egypt, Sisi and company. Alhamdulillah, they released Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi's daughter yesterday. So imagine, this is how the tinpot dictators work, that from 2017 till now, she has been arrested with her husband, and now yesterday she's out on probation and so forth, but no charges. So where's all the Western countries? Where's all the human rights? Where's all the people? Remember this. So this is how these tinpot dictators work. So remember, we must make dua. Oh Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, guide them or remove them from the surface of this earth. Secondly, you see the Western media silent. Inna lillahi wa inna Rajun, our brother Nuruddin in Tunisia, that he is arrested. Why? Because he belongs to the Muslim party, and now they got another tinpot dictator there in Tunisia, so they can arrest whoever they want to and so forth. This one will say arrest this one, because America or Israel or Europe or somebody doesn't like him, so they can arrest you without any charge and so forth. That is how they want the Muslim. Muslims must be treated as they are slaves and so forth. But they forget we are the slaves of Almighty Allah alone. So we know that today is the 1st of January 2022. For us Muslims, it is not time for celebration. It is time for reflection. Every one of us should ask the same question. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, faqihu hadhil ummah, the great mufti and jurors of this world, used to say that at the time of sunset, when the sun would set, then, or just prepare to set, then his face would become somber, serious. And then his students would ask him, what's wrong? He says, naqasa fihi ajali, wa lam yazid fihi amali. My lifespan is shrinking and decreasing, and my righteous deeds and actions are not increasing. So think about it, O Muslim, O Muslima, O humanity. Are we a greater asset to humanity, or are we going to become worse? Are we going to become true Muslims and ambassadors of Islam? So many questions. So inshallah, that from Monday onwards, Mauna Arafat will be back, inshallah al-Aziz. We take this occasion to thank my brother, Shafat Ahmad Khan, for standing in. Splendid job, my brother Shafat. Allah Jalla reward you, reward your family, for all the great sacrifices you made. The listeners really enjoyed it. The feedback we got was very positive. And Almighty Allah, Jalla wa'ala, keep our partnership strong and increase it, inshaAllah. Barakallahu lak fi ahlika wa malik. We make dua for you, your family, and your wealth, my brother Shafa'at. Jazakallahu khairan.
Jazakallahu khairan, Mufti Sahib. My feeling is reciprocal. Looking at the question, this one says, it's Arnold Foslew. He says, Pastor Agnes Buchanan has taught us to be early birds and worship the Lord. I want to know why Muslims shout in the loudspeakers to disturb us in the morning. A donkey. Mufti Sahib?
Yes, my brother, Mr. Foslew, that remember that I can pose the same question to you and say, but how come you disturb us? You must remember during Christmas and during New Year, what the fireworks and then the bells going in the churches and so many other things. So we have to look at many aspects, my brother. Don't only look at it from one perspective. South Africa is a democracy, is a multi-plural society. And remember, remember that, are you really having a problem with our call to prayer, or is there some envy, jealousy involved that so many people are embracing Islam? You yourself woke up so early. We appreciate that, my brother. So I want to give you something better than what your pastor told you. You see, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was, who is, who will always be the only rahmatul lil alameen, mercy to the entire universe. So chapter 21, verse 107. So he, the master, peace be upon him, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taught us, Allahumma barik li ummati fi bukuriha. Oh Allah, grant us barakah, blessing during the early part of the morning. Therefore, the true Muslim will wake up 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock, and start worshipping Allah in the privacy of his home. And he will beg and beseech Almighty Allah, Ya Allah, you help us, help humanity, help us in this world, in the year after, after our death as well, Ya Allah. So that is what Islam teaches us, that we must start from very, very early in the morning, and then, and whether it is our religious matters or our worldly and mundane affairs, the Rawi, the reporter of this hadith, Abu Sakhar, you will find in Tirmidhi, the incident is mentioned, he would take out his merchandise and so forth in the early part of the morning, go and sell it. وَكَانَ ذَا ثَرْوَى. And after some time, he became a very influential, rich person. When I was in Paraguay, so this incident happened in Paraguay. So I asked the Bangladesh brothers, this masjid you built, who built it? Your money or you went for collection? They said, no, all our money. I said, subhanallah, that's what we want. So I said, what you do? He said, you must see tomorrow morning. After Fajr, early morning, 4 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, they're already gone. And you know, the borders meet with Brazil and so forth and so on, and they go for the flea market. So that is, my brother, what Islam teaches us. We pray P-R-A-Y to Almighty Allah, and we do not pray P-R-E-Y on the creation of Almighty Allah.
Well said, Mufti Sahib. This question says that things are getting out of hand in our Dorfi. All these people from the subcontinent, they are marrying our Bur Macy Ahman. We're not going to their countries and doing this on this squat, Mufti Sahib.
Ja, my broer, jylle is kwaad, ek ken dit, maar hoe kom vat jylle vroomens al hierdie Pakistanis en Bangladeshis en Indians en so voort? So as twee roads, you know, so daar is nie, dis twee paikies daar. So nie een nie, so remember that I'm asking the brother a question, that why you blaming the foreigners, that you must remember the Pakistani comes, he married the Afrikaner lady, or the Bangladeshi, or the Indian from India. So I'm asking, but how come your ladies are falling for them? There must be something. So let me give you the answer. You see, I studied this with the help and mercy of Allah. You see, the Afrikaner, he was a very good person. Under the apartheid, we're not now condoning apartheid. Apartheid was a crime against humanity, remember that. And we are the first people who suffered apartheid. But under apartheid, you must remember, the Afrikaner, then he was in power, and he felt, you must remember, he could do anything. But now when they lost power, 1994, so then what happened is, now they're in the minority, now they know there's freedom, they can't do anything. If Mr. Prinsloo's daughter, Mr. Foster's daughter, Mr. Foster's daughter, Mr. Farwood's daughter, so wants to marry so a Pakistani or a Bangladeshi or an Indian from the subcontinent, they can't do anything. So you must ask this question, but why are they marrying? So when we interview them, speak to them, meaning they send me messages, I want to marry this Muslim person and so forth, I'm from Welkom, ek is van die Vrystaat af and so forth. So they say that, you know, that in our culture, the men, they drink too much. Hulle is baie drunk. So in Islam, there is no culture like that. So that is what we like. Second, in the non-Muslim culture, we don't say all, but many, that they hit their wives and assault them, especially when they drunk and intoxicated. In Islam, there's nothing like that. We're not saying every Muslim is perfect. Muslims also, some of them drink, some of them hit and assault their wives. All that haram. So your daughters, your sisters from the Afrikaners have found some beauty and a magnet in Islam, and therefore they're gravitating towards that. So for you, if you want to go to India, Pakistan and get married there, and if they're happy, so remember, we can't prevent you. But my brother, don't blame the Muslim when your daughters are embracing Islam and getting married to the Muslim. That is your own shortcoming, because they realize the beauty of Islam.
What a mashallah answer by our Mufti A.K. Hussain. Beautiful indeed. Mufti Saab, I have a collection of 58 vintage cars. Recently an alim came for collection and told me I'm hoarding and that I should sell the cars and give the cash out for charity. Any truth in that, Mufti Saab?
Remember that maybe you didn't give him the thousands that he was expecting after he saw your vintage cars and so forth. So therefore, he told you that. You must remember, they know how to manipulate the situation. My uncle, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus, many years ago, Ramadan, he passed away. So you know the old people, they don't use the word dua. You know, dua means you pray to Allah, and they used to call Fatiha, make Fatiha. So he says, if I give thousands of rain to the collector, then he makes long fatiha, long dua. And if I give a small amount, then he makes short fatiha. You see, these chaps also are characters, you know. So I would just smile and so forth. So you don't worry about that. It's another case of zillatul ulama in the aghniya. We say that that is not the function of the scholars, to go shop to shop like a beggar and go ask the people, give me money for my madrasa and my institution and so forth. So that got nothing to do with hoarding. So you keep your vintage cars, and mashallah, the day you want to sell it, that's your prerogative. So maybe you just gave him a small amount, and therefore he felt upset and so forth. So nothing to worry about, my brother.
Yes, sir. Rasul says, Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Saab. Most nations welcome the new year with fireworks and merrymaking and alcohol. The Arab lands led the way with devilish smiles coming from most of the leaders. Can Mufti comment, Mufti Saab?
I told you before, my brother, there are 57 Muslim countries and they belong to the OIC, Organization of Islamic Cooperation. If you look at majority of the Arab leaders, and I can name them, so majority of them are murtad and out of the fold of Islam. You take, for example, MBS. Can any person in his right mind say that he's a Muslim? He's murtad bin shaitan. So they're of Saudi Arabia. MBZ of Dubai. Can you call him a Muslim? Another shaitan and out of the fold of Islam. The king of Bahrain. So can you call him Muslim? He's building churches for the Christians. Then you go to the king of Morocco. So they demolishing, closing mosque and masajid, you must remember. Then you go to Sisi, the dictator, the port dictator in Egypt. So you take majority of the Muslim countries, we don't say all. You must remember, they just use Islam for a hidden agenda and ulterior motive. Each day they will say we're Muslim. Some big night, big occasion, they will say we're Muslim. Otherwise, deep down in their heart, they hate Islam, you must remember. Therefore, if you belong to the Ikhwan, the Muslim Brotherhood, in Egypt, that's a crime. And they lock you up. So where's the democracy for that? And remember, you take the tenpot dictators, majority are like that. I gave you Tunisia's example this morning, that the opposition leader, the Western media calls them a moderate Islamic party. You know what that means? That it means that these people are very, very careful and so forth. But they took Nuruddin, one of the great officials and so forth, and locked him up. So I'm asking you, that do you think these people are Muslim? So they hate Islam. Sometimes you will find they worse than the kuffar also. So therefore, they all suffer from a complex. What is the complex? The inferiority complex. And that is, the West is the best. And remember, white is right. Therefore, they want to mimic the West. And therefore, they are so humiliated. I give you one fact which you should remember lifelong. Islamically, it is the 16th year after the Hijrah, 16 years after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah Mukarramah to Madinah Munawwara. And remember, thereafter, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the first successor. Second successor was Sayyidina Umar. 16th year after the Hijrah corresponds to the year 636-637. So around there, some historians write 636, some write 637. Be that as it may, when Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar came to Palestine, and the Sahaba, the Tabi'een who were there to welcome him, the companions of the Master sallallahu alaihi wasallam and their student, they shouted Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar in front of Majidul Aqsa al-Mubarak. Till today, you will find the mountain Jabal al-Mukabbar there. The echo came from that mountain there. And the Zionist apartheid terrorist regime, they are Hadmul Quds, that's what you call it in Arabic. How they are demolishing the houses of the Palestinians. They want to change the demographics of it and so forth. So therefore Allah curses the Jutlas and the Jews, and the Zionists will come in because they part and parcel of this, for their oppression, transgression, occupation is terrorism. There's no question about that. So you must remember, and he delivered the memorable khutbah and sermon. What did he say? Nahnu qawmun. This is Sayyidina Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen. And I'll give you the other incident as well. Very inspiring. Nahnu qawmun a'azzana Allahu bil Islam. We are a people Allah gave us honor because of Islam. Not we gave Islam honor. No. Islam gave us honor. Wa mahma natlu غيره. And ومهما نطلب غيره, and anytime we look and search for something else, لأذلنا الله, Allah will humiliate and disgrace us. Show me one Muslim country. One. Taliban, maybe you can still exempt them. They just came into power now 3-4 months ago. So remember that you take them and exclude them. But the rest, all humiliated, disgraced, and without exception, because they mimic the West and they bootlickers. So that is our story regarding them. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anh, on this one side he's there, on the other side the Christian leader is there, and the people observing. He hands over the key. Sufyanus, the leader of the Christians, hands over the key to Sayyidina Umar for Baka. And then he, Sufyanus, cries. Sayyidina Umar says, Inna dunya dawara. Oh, Sufyanus, don't cry. This dunya, it goes round and round. This world, sometime yawmun laka wa yawmun alaik, that one day you will be, and it will be in your favor, and one day it will be against you. What did he say? Every Muslim should learn this as well. He, Sufyanus, said, Inna zulma lasa'a. When you have oppression, transgression, like the minority white regime we had here, the hated, detested system of whites and non-whites, so then that will last for a short while. Inna zulma lasa'a. Wa inna al-adla ila qiyami sa'a. And when you have justice, it will last till the day of justice. So that is our message to the world. Remember that. Bring true justice, and then you will see the world will be a better place to live in. Not all this nonsense that you are doing, so you and your country can then benefit, and Africa and the third world and fourth world, you send them to junk status. So remember, that is something apartheid as well. So there's apartheid in economics, apartheid in politics, apartheid in so many issues.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti Sahab. Is it fair to call top Muslim scholars who may have erred, reverence, sellout, etc., etc.? Surely we're making a laughing stock of ourselves. Ikram from Josie, Mufti.
So you must remember, if a person went and they closed the mosque and went to court, and we told them 100 times that they must apologize, instead of apologizing, they go, you must remember, with the lesbians and so forth again to court, and then for the recognition of the Muslim marriages. And they are the people that they're not prepared to say, that those people who are swearing, cursing the Sahaba. So what do you call such people? I'm asking you. So you must remember, when you err, then you apologize. So we make mistakes, we admit it, we confess it was a mistake, you apologize. But when you try and justify it, that's exactly what the shaitan did. So the shaitan was defiant, aba, was takbara. So remember that he was a person who was defiant and he was proud and arrogant. And he said, yes, ana khayrun min, I'm better than Adam alayhi salam. So khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min tin. You created me from fire and the flame goes upwards. You created him, that is Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, from the sand and dust. So I am superior, why should I prostrate to him? So that's exactly what they are doing. So you must remember that. One is they know deep down the big mess they made. So why all this? Because they are bootlickers. They want to curry favor with the government. Remember these type of things. So they will invite the leaders of the government to come to the Eidgah, come to the masjid. Can we refute all this? We got all the evidence here, and anybody wants it, we sent it out so many a time to the public. So therefore, we got no qualms about that. You must remember, we again tell them that they must apologize publicly for going to court. It's unprecedented in human history. From time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam till today, Maulvis, sheikhs, muftis, imams going to court to close the mosque. They should hang their heads in shame, man. So you must remember, 100% we are justified by calling them that.
I live in an area surrounded by non-Muslim neighbors. Weekends are rowdy. What are their rights over me and my rights over them? Faisal from Norwood.
So you must remember, as a Muslim, my brother Faisal, always remember our names. You see, my brother here is opposite me, brother Junaid Khan. When he came here, Junaid is like a master, you know, that forever smiling. That is one great quality he has. You don't see him sad. He's forever smiling. He comes here 2:30 in the morning. What he does, Allah alone knows. So I say he makes da'wah to the jinnats, you understand? But it's good, mashallah. He comes here, he reads tahajjud, he makes dua, all these type of things. So Allah ta'ala bless him. So when I met him, I asked him, what's your name? He said, Junaid. I said, no, not Junaid, it's Junaid. So Jundun Junaidun, you call it tazghir, you call it diminutive. One army and the smaller army. So you must remember that. So what is the smaller army? He, our brother Junaid, is the smaller army. So you take Faisal, not Faisal. Our people mix the. You see, the king of Saudi Arabia, he was a great man. I saw him also. In 74, in 75, he was martyred by the enemies. So anyway, King Faisal al-Shaheed. So Faisal means you are a decisive person. So we must learn to pronounce our names correctly and spell it correctly as well. Although our parents, we know in those days, they were not very particular, meticulous. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innakum tud'auna yawm al-qiyama bi asma'ikum wa asma'i abaikum fa ahsinu asma'akum, that you will be called by your name and your father's name on the day of justice. Fa ahsinu asma'akum. Faisal, your father's name is Ahmed, Muhammad, for example, so you will be called Faisal, the son of Ahmed or Muhammad. I'm just giving example. So therefore, we should be very careful about that. Okay, the question. For a Muslim, remember, we have neighbors, right? So there are 2-3 different scenarios. I have neighbors where I'm speaking to you from. Example, they are my family. So they have 3 rights over me. One right, they are my family. Second one, they are Muslim. Third one, they are my neighbor. So I must ensure that I'm always an asset to them and not a liability to them. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, fala yu'zi jarahu. Whosoever believes in Almighty Allah and the last day, so remember that they must not cause harm to the neighbor. So that's first one. Second one, the person is a Muslim, and I have one side Muslim, one side non-Muslim. So remember, the Muslim, and so they have 2 rights over me. One is a Muslim and one is my neighbor. So same. This is on a light-hearted note. So now 2 days ago, I see they put a big marquee and all that. So I asked one of the brothers, what you going to celebrate, New Year or what's going on here? So he started laughing. He said, nay, shadi here. So there's a nikah in our, I said, oh, very good, very good. So mashallah, so there's somebody's getting married and so forth. So therefore they put the marquee and a tent and so forth. So then my one side, the neighbor is non-Muslim. So he also has a right over me. So although he's a non-Muslim, and if they are doing things wrong, they play loud music and so forth. So it doesn't mean that you go put your radio, your TV so loud, you say, I will fix them up. No, you don't fight fire with fire, brother. You fight fire with water. So when they are in a good mood, you have a meeting with them and tell them that, you know, that we have children, we have people, we have to wake up early. So in a diplomatic manner and so forth, you make dua for them, and whenever they need something, you there to assist them. So inshallah, that will soften their heart. You know the surah, وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ means حَقُّ الْجَارِ, the rights of the neighbor. If they ask for salt, they ask for sugar, they ask for water, they ask for something, sometimes the people don't have electricity, they don't have water, so we must be the first one there to help them. So that is what Islam is teaching us. That is known as حَقُّ الْمَعُونَ, Hakul Jar, Parosi ke Hukuk, the rights of the neighbor.
Alfie says, good morning, AK, and thank you for your forthright answer. When we invite our Muslim friends, they always have an excuse not to attend. Can you explain why?
My brother, if you're going to invite a Muslim and you tell him that now come to my house and so forth. Now let us be honest, right? So in your house, I'm not passing judgment on you. I don't even know you, but I'm speaking generally. So in your house, the non-Muslim house, normally either there'll be wine, either champagne, whiskey, either there'll be swine and so forth and so on. So when I have to come there and now I have to eat or drink something there, so that will make me really apprehensive that, you know, this person in the same glass, he drank alcohol, wine, and in the same plate they ate wine and so forth. So therefore the Muslim will not want to come there. Yes, you do invite the Muslim, tell him that come there and we talk. We can talk religion, we can talk politics, we can talk economics, whatever you want. No eating, no drinking, so then it's fine. So that is why the Muslim will be very, very reluctant. You see, my brother, you must understand, in this world, they tell you of input and output. In the world of economics, the corporate world. But we have a greater understanding and connotation of that. Our input, output is what is going inside your system. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Eat and consume that which is wholesome and pure, and that will motivate you to do and carry out the righteous actions. So that is our input, output. So a Muslim will always be very careful and circumspect regarding what he eats or drinks and so forth and so on. But remember, the non-Muslim will not worry about that. For them, they will say everything's on kelungile. They get wine, swine, whatever. Second one is this. Now when a person gets involved in this wine, swine culture, now you saw last night what happened. So I slept away. So this morning when I woke up, I asked my wife, did you hear any noise? She said, no, I fell asleep. I said, I myself also slept. I said, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala put us to sleep. We didn't hear any of the vices. So you must go to the Quran, chapter 23 and verse number 51. Chapter 23, verse 51. When our input is pure, then we will be motivated, inspired to do righteous deeds. And when our input is vices and this wine, swine, dine culture, then the output will also be homosexuality, incest, and every vice will be legal. So that is what we see in today's world. If you just see the restaurants today, what things they are serving, but on top they look so impressive. So you must remember, therefore we also say that these type of places a person must avoid. Look at today. They're taking bottles, right? Yesterday a person asked me, that they're taking bottles. If you look at it, it looks exactly like the alcohol, like the whiskey or champagne or whatever else. You all know better than me. But they write there in the ingredients, non-alcoholic and so forth. So what is that? You want to fool the Muslim that slowly, slowly, you must get accustomed to this system, yeah, that you will come into the wine industry, into the champagne industry. We say, no, that I told the brother, you stay away from this. Da'ama yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. That leave that which places you in doubt and opt for that in which there is no doubt. Is authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif.
Assalamu alaikum. Early this morning, I focused on my tahajjud and Quran. But when a firecracker went off and disturbed my pets, I just cussed and cursed at the perpetrators. What happened to my ibadat, Mufti Sahab?
You must remember, you woke up 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock, you were reading tahajjud, the early voluntary prayer, and that's excellent. Remember that, and Allah Ta'ala will bless you for that. And then you were making dua, zikr, and then the firecracker went, and then your pets also got a shock of their life. So you cursed them, so that's fine also. So you must remember, when people cause harm to humanity, and Muslim and non-Muslim, even Allah curses them. So remember, you should not feel guilty. Sometimes our people think that if you curse people, you are committing a crime. That's not always the case. You must remember, I'll give you one verse from the Quran and one hadith due to lack of time. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in chapter 33, so that is Surah Ahzab and verses 57-58. So after the ayat of Inna Allah wa Malak, so that ayah there I read for you, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala teaches us and informs us, Inna alladhina, that those people, yu'udhuna Allah wa rasulahu, they cause Allah harm. So nobody can cause Allah harm. They cause harm to Islam. They cause harm to the Muslims. Ibadallah wa rasulahu, and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, la'anahumu Allahu fi dunya wal akhirah, then Allah Ta'ala curses them in this worldly life and in the year after. Wa'adda lahum adhaban muhina, and Allah has already prepared for them a humiliating punishment. Distant pot dictators, this is applicable to them. Surah chapter 33 verse 57. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ, and those people who cause harm to the believing men and believing women, بِغَيْرِ مَكْتَسَبُوا, without any justification, فَقَدِ احْتَمَلُوا بُهُتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا, indeed they are carrying a big crime, major crime, and an accusation they are leveling against people without justification. So chapter 33 verses 57-58. So Allah curses people in so many actions. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam cursed people when they cause harm to the Muslims. See, I give you one place. In Tirmidhi Sharif, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha ra'aytumul ladina yasubbuna ashabi," when you see people who are cursing, swearing my companions. Who they swear? Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Amir Muawiyah, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, like that. So these are the main targets, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So these are eminent, illustrious sahaba. So what must you do when you hear them doing this? Then you must say, فَقُولُوا لَعَنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ شَرِّكُمْ, Allah Ta'ala's curse is upon you. So you must curse them for the shir ala sharrikum, that the evil you are perpetrating. Therefore, today the fence-sitters, they don't want to say anything, then we tell them that you, the fence-sitters, you are committing a major offense. In Islam, you can never be a fence-sitter. You either on haq or either on batil. And to that brother who asked, we are making a mockery that by calling them such names. So did they not make a mockery by going to court as friends of the court, unprecedented in human history? Then joining the lesbians, did they not make a mockery? So by keeping silent against the enemies of Islam, so think properly, my brother. It's not time to play games. This is matter of protection and propagating the true Islam. Islam, and not those people who sell out and they write their RIP and all that for non-Muslims. Such people, we're going to expose them, and we will do that, inshallah al-Aziz, without fear and favor. May Almighty Allah Ta'ala bless you, my brother Shafat, and inshallah tomorrow we will have the Q&A in the afternoon, 2 to 4 with Maulana Khalid Yaqub, and then Monday we will be back on air, inshallah al-Aziz, with Maulana Shafat. Maulana, I nearly said Maulana Shafat Ahmad Khan. Maybe Ameen. You become a Maulana, we can't say, with Maulana Arafat, inshallah. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.